listening to the teaching ministry of Uxbridge Baptist Church. If you would like to learn more about how we can be of service to you, please visit us at www.uxbridgebaptist.com.
We want to say thanks this morning to our worship team for leading us, and for all of those who have participated this morning, for those who are going to assist with our children in their special time of learning and worship. I'm glad that we're able to be together today, and I'm glad that things are back to routine, at least somewhat. And welcome back to all of you. We are excited about what's coming in the next number of weeks and months. A couple of weeks from now, October, the first Sunday in October, the first weekend in October, that's Kids Fest weekend. That's always a great time for us. And so the children will, they'll kind of take over, really, for that weekend. So we're excited about that. Thanksgiving follows that. And then following that, we're going to move into a spiritual growth time together as a congregation. This is something that we've done every fall, where in a particular way we try to come onto the same page, and we want to learn God's Word together. We stream our studies together so that we can have greater ease at conversations with one another. We love to see intergenerational conversations about the Word of God and about the love of Christ. So we love to see aunts and uncles passing on to their nieces and nephews, and parents to their children, grandparents to their grandchildren, the great truths of Scripture, and just the experience of life in faith, and all of those kinds of things. So this year, our focus is going to be on life in the Holy Spirit, and in particular, how the Holy Spirit bears fruit in us. And we really do want to ask the question, am I bearing fruit in my spiritual life? And what is it that God does by His Spirit in us to cause us to be those who are fruit bearers? Because actually we're accountable for this. And for us to have all of the privileges and the access to the Word of God that He's given us, it means that we are to be those, as followers of Christ, who bear fruit. And so we want to encourage one another. We want to kind of pull one another along and encourage us to think about how we're to be bearing fruit. How is it that God is doing that in our lives, and how can we be even greater fruit bearers? So that's coming middle of October, and that'll carry us right through to the Christmas season. Today we are celebrating the arts. We're walking together with our community. I believe September is the month that our community celebrates the arts, and we love to be able to walk together with our community. And we too celebrate art as God's gift to us, one of the enriching things that God gives in our lives. And we're very grateful for that. And as Pastor Kathy says, there are many samples of the works of our artists within this congregation here that are on display back there, and we'll have a chance to look at those afterward. I have to tell you, I'm actually amazed by artists. I really am, because I am not an artist. And in the presence of real artistic talent, I feel like I'm all thumbs. I just don't know how they do what they do. I have a tremendous admiration for those who can take the raw materials, ordinary everyday things, and make out of them something beautiful, something extraordinary. It fascinates me. And so we're going to give a little bit of thought to that today, especially about God as the source and center of all of that. And so as part of a little bit of artistic expression today, I'm going to ask Anise Vicaria to come. Anise is going to come and actually show you how it's done, okay? He's actually going to come up here, and he is actually one of our very talented artists here in this church, and Anise just has all kinds of experience to share and has done some of that with us, and actually a class here. But he's going to be working at something over here. That's not to distract you. I'm going to keep on talking, okay? So pay attention to what I'm saying. But you'll have something going on over there as well, and hopefully you'll figure that out as we go. By the way, I understand that, art comes in all kinds of forms. I understand that Jason Doxey won an award. Was it at the Beaverton Fair, is that right, for singing Oh Canada? Is that what I hear? Congratulations, Jason. That's wonderful. When I was in high school, there was all kinds of people who are really talented, and I was not one of them. But I do remember one year there was actually a student. His name was Greg Gallant, and he was a year behind me, but just a wonderful artist. And he went and he drew. There was a time when classrooms had blackboards in them, and he drew on the blackboard with white chalk. Imagine that. I know it's a you have to go to archaeology sites now to find those. But he drew on the blackboard, and it was just, actually, it was a wonderful picture of a geography teacher in the school and the classroom. And it was just like you saw it unfold just as he was doing it. And it was so good. You know what blackboards are for? I mean, it's for the mathematicians and all the others to kind of put all their stuff up there. But it was so good, nobody wanted to erase it. And it just stayed there on the blackboard for a few days until somebody figured out they could photograph it or something and then kind of preserve it that way. But it was an amazing thing that kind of inspired a lot of people around because of the skill involved. It even made its way into the local paper, I think. The stock in trade of artists is beauty. Beauty. Artists are the brokers of the beautiful. And it's often through the eyes and art of an artist that we get a better glimpse of what is truly beautiful. And that reminds me of God. The way of the artist reminds me of God. You see, God is beautiful. I would want to say God is the definition, the absolute source, the creator of all things beautiful. God makes beautiful things. The stock in trade of God is glory. God does things gloriously. God is the effulgence of the glorious. Some of you may be familiar with Sir David Attenborough and Brian Cox's TV shows, nature shows, because of there's one that's called, it's BBC's Planet Earth. Maybe you've seen that. Beautiful, beautiful depictions of natural scenes, natural occurrences, animals, and that sort of thing. And there's been a study. Actually, it's been done of this recently. And the study shows that as people watch those images, those who have some faith in God, their faith is actually affirmed by watching those videos. As they see just the wonders of nature kind of unfold. Faith is affirmed. And David Attenborough himself would not call himself a Christian, but he says he cannot be an atheist because there just needs to be some kind of explanation for this beauty that is actually right there. And Christianity has long seen the presence of beauty in our world as a strong argument for the existence and presence of God. In the early 5th century, an amazing theologian who helped to shape the understanding of the church, Augustine of Hippo, discusses the many beautiful things in nature, and he asks this question, who made these beautiful, changeable things, if not the one who is beautiful and unchangeable himself? Who made all of these things? When I look at the work of an artist or what we have on display here, one of the first things that comes to my mind is who put this together? I don't have any conception that it just happened to have fallen into that place, in that condition, and not have any concern about the artist. There's a beautiful artistic mind that brings the art into being. Well, this morning I want to share a few thoughts along these lines and encourage you as we do in your worship of our God to recognize him as the beautiful God, the God who brings beauty to your life. And I want to encourage you to be seekers of the beauty because of God who is in the beauty. God, firstly, we'll say this, God is beautiful. God is beautiful. And there are scriptures that support this. It's frequently stated in scripture, but from Zechariah 9:17, these words, how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. Do you think about this when you think about God? That he is actually beautiful, beautiful. And I think so beautiful that when the veil is finally lifted and we actually see him, we will be overcome with awe. Like it's glory like we've never seen before. And if there's ever been a scene or an event that has somehow captured you and taken your breath away, just imagine what it will be to see God. We're going to focus in on one of David's Psalms, Psalm 27. And in Psalm 27, he declares the desire of his heart. This is what I desire with all my heart, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord, like what we're doing here. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Let me read it out for you. Psalm 27 and verse 4. We're going to just spend our time here this morning. David says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." There's a beautiful heart. David declared the chief and highest occupation, preoccupation of his heart. He had this secret motivation, and the secret is, and this was really the secret of his vitality in the Lord, his walk with the Lord, through his years of consistent faithfulness. He said, this one thing have I desired. Think of what it takes for a man to say that. This is it. This is the one thing. That ought to get your attention, I think. Yeah, he's above all other things, above all my other concerns and preoccupations, this one thing rides above. It's my highest goal, my vision of God. This is what I've asked from the Lord, this one thing. And then he lays it out clearly in the second part of that fourth verse, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You know what that's about? That's about being in the presence of God. And it's about being in the presence of God according to the design of God, which means in the company of other worshipers. It means being together in God's house, instructed by God's word, lifting our voice in God's praise, and there being in the presence of God. That's what David loves and desires all the days of his life. It's a beautiful activity. And then he goes on, he tells us the reason that why this is his supreme pursuit. And it's the last part of this verse, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to set eyes on the beauty of the Lord. So if David could sum it all up in one statement, it seems to be what he's doing here. If he could, it almost seems like he's been, asked the question, David, what's the secret of your walk with God? What is it that you're all about? What does your heart really beat for if you were to kind of boil it all down into one statement? And here's David's response. This is it, the thing that rides above all other things, that I would be in the house of God forever and that I would be there to gaze upon the beauty of my God. The term that that Scripture uses to describe all of God's perfections, God has just wonderful perfections for us to meditate on. God's, the fact that God is almighty, the fact that God has all knowledge, the fact that God is immortal, just so many things. And you gather all of those great terms together, all of those beautiful things, and the Bible uses the term glory to speak about that, God's glory. Glory, God is glorious, and God's glory includes his beauty. It includes the fact that he is a beautiful God, but glory includes that, but it's more. It's never less than that. So it makes sense to say that the beauty of God is pervasive. It's everywhere. If we have eyes to see, the glory of God is everywhere. And it's practical. Some people feel it's not, and I just want to dismiss that right from the start. Some people feel somehow that the glory of God is just some kind of high theological contemplation. It is not. The glory of God is the pursuit of the human heart. It's really what we all want in our deepest desire, is to look upon the beauty of God. That's God's glory. That's God's beauty. It always has an impact. There's something about seeing God in his glory that changes us. We can never be the same. I want us to take a moment to think about that. God's beauty in all things, the glory of beauty in all things. In creating the world, of course, God's beauty is on display. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." They do. When God brought light into existence, we have there kind of a prefiguring of the glory of God that's going to be revealed in human hearts. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. "God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,'" that's the creation line, has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's that same wonder, that same scale of miracle when God says, let there be light, and there was, that God says, let there be the light of God in our hearts through Jesus Christ, and there is. That's glorious. That changes us. It's a beautiful reality, this new creation. In the new creation of the new human being, we see the beauty of God through Jesus Christ. The Son of God came to make the beauty of God visible to us in a way that we'd never seen before. That's what John 1 tells us, John 1:14. This will be a familiar verse. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. We have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father. It's the beauty of God in the face of Jesus that we see. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, who has given us the inspired record of Jesus Christ in His time with us, has made it possible for all of us to see His beauty. It's the glory of God revealed in Jesus. And the miracle that opens our eyes to see this beauty, this is the work of God, and it's what the Scriptures cry out for. Let me list a few. Psalm 80 and verse 3 says, "Restore us, O God, restore us, let Your face shine, so that we may be saved." It's about seeing the face of God. And then Psalm 89, verse 15, "Blessed are the people who walk, O Lord, in the light of Your face." It's the beauty of God. Every revelation that God has made to us, whether it's in the whole context of the beauty of nature or whether it's in God's specific work in redeeming us and bringing us back to Himself, it's all a revelation of beauty. Everything God does is beautiful. So why pursue beauty? Why pursue the skills of craftsmanship and artistry in order to produce beautiful things? Because it reflects the glory of God. It draws attention to the glory of God. It elevates the beauty of God. It shows again how in our hearts, in our deepest need, what satisfies us most is the vision of God. And anything that would prevent us from seeing God and from being in that place where we're able to look upon Him, those are things that detract and destroy and are unworthy. God is beautiful. God is beautiful. And, as we sang this morning, God makes beautiful things. God just makes extraordinarily beautiful things. Don't you agree with that? I mean, I don't think you have to look far or hard. I mean, it's again all through Scripture. Let me give you a little bit of this. Nehemiah 9 and verse 6. He says, "You are the Lord, You alone. You've made the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them, and You preserve all of them. The host of heaven worships You." I mean, it's everywhere. You can't get away from this. The heaven of heavens, God has made it. The earth, the seas, everything in them, and God preserves them all in their place. It is an amazing, beautiful work of God. Revelation 4 and verse 11 says, when the angels are surrounding the throne of the Lamb as though slain, and they sing this song of His worthiness, Revelation 4 and verse 11, "Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." Actually, Will, I'm going to have us look at a couple of pictures here just to give us some idea, just some sampling of some of the glorious things that God has created. Look at this. The blue marble. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to behold. And think of the complexity. Think of the, all of what we might want to say when you look in one of these images. So many beautiful things that God has made. Such glory displayed. Such wonder. What else have we got? Well, what other beautiful things are here? Look at this. Just amazing, isn't it? The glory of God displayed. The beauty of God here. God does His beautiful work in so many ways, displaying His glory. What else have we got here? God just makes beautiful things. There's a picture of the earth at night, the atmosphere radiating. God makes glorious things. What else have we got there, Will? Galaxies, these nebula, just recent photos like these that have come forward. Look, who put that? Wait a second. Who put that in there? We'll move on to the next one here. Okay, this is known as the Bubble Nebula, by the way. The Bubble Nebula. God has made glorious things, beautiful things. And this is one actually recently captured by the Hubble Space Telescope. It's just, it really is amazing, and it ought to inspire us. It ought to fill us with wonder. Actually, there's an interesting article I read just recently about a United States astronaut who spoke from space about the beauty of God's creation as he looked from that vantage point. He was just describing the amazing creative work of God. His name is Jeff Williams. Maybe you've heard of him. He was the commander of the International Space Station, Expedition 48. He actually is the one who broke the record for the longest amount of time spent in space by an American, 520 days or more. That's a year and a half or somewhere in that neighborhood, right? Jeff Williams, and he listens to a podcast by the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, whose name is Al Mohler, and they actually had a moment where they, during one of the seminary chapels, where there was a conversation between Al Mohler and Jeff Williams, and the astronaut, he's taken amazing pictures, and he tweets from the space station, and so this is what he was showing, and one of the things he said when he spoke to Al Mohler there in that moment was, I'm quoting, "When I look out the window, and I see this, all of the elements are what you would imagine you would see with the creative work by an infinite God. You see the design. You see the beauty. You see the purpose. You see all those elements, and you see order in all of those details." Well, it must be an incredible sight to see the glory of God displayed in that way. That was Williams' little interview with Al Mohler there, and they said that to end the interview, he did a backflip in zero gravity. So that would have been pretty cool too. Let me tell you this. God makes beautiful things from the depths of his own beauty. Where does God get the notion of beauty? Where does God? It's from who he is. It's out of the depth of who God is that God creates things beautiful. He makes beautiful things that reflect his own glory. That's just the nature of God. He makes us, his human creatures, the pinnacle of his creation. He makes us beautiful. And it's a wonder. It's a wonder to behold a human life. There, by the way, there are many who doubt this. There are many, maybe even when they stand in front of the mirror, they look at themselves and they doubt this, that God has actually made me beautiful. But I'll tell you, the master craftsman, our God, who's made all things, does not make mistakes. And he doesn't even do average works. He does beautiful things. And if we can see the glory that God has deposited there, our vision of ourselves and our vision of each other would be radically changed. It's the psalmist David again. David seems to be just captured by this. Psalm 139, I think this verse will be familiar with you as well. Psalm 139, verse 14, he says this, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." God does a wonderful work. Out of the beauty that he is in his own depths, he makes a beautiful people. One of the things that God is doing in gathering together people who recognize him for who he is, who've come to know him by faith, turning from their sin and turning to Jesus Christ. One of the things that God does is he brings us together and doesn't just bring us to some kind of sort of individual salvation and relationship with him, but he actually makes us to be a beautiful body. He's sanctifying us and beautifying us so that we become together in our corporate reality, we become something God says is beautiful. God is doing this. And that's why we continue on together. That's why we do and do our very best to live out the fullness of the beautiful life God has given us. I love the way Solomon says it. Solomon, the great wise man, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything beautiful. Are you getting the sense that what God makes is beautiful and that there's a glory to be seen there? This is so crucial. So what does that mean for us? Where does that leave us? It means we are to be those who gaze upon the beauty of God. This is why we have breath. This is why we're still here, that we might gaze upon the beauty of God. It may be that the pace of your life makes that difficult. Then I want to say to you, slow down the pace of your life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Have this heart in you that David had. This will bring richness to your life, that I might be there in the place where I can gaze upon the beauty of God. Nothing compares to the pleasure of God revealing God to the human soul. There's nothing like this. Now, nothing can do for us what this does, that God actually shows us who he is deep in our soul. And our heart just beats, our heart just responds, seeing God reveal himself. David, he was the one who he discovered this exhilaration of this seeking after God and seeking the richness that there is in Jesus Christ. It is the most exhilarating thing that we can experience as human beings. You know, David, an artist, one who was a poet, a musician, and of great skill. He loved so many things, but the primary source of his pleasure was seeking God, seeing God. God has ordained all kinds of pleasures for us. God has so wondrously, so graciously given us all kinds of things to enjoy, and he's pleased when we enjoy the things that he's given us for that purpose. Pleasures for the mind, pleasures for our emotions, pleasures for our bodies and our senses. These are all good gifts that God has given. But there is no pleasure more powerful and nothing that more penetrates to the core of us and satisfies us with such richness than seeing the beauty of God. God has ordained all of these things, but when they take first place, and David found sometimes they did, sometimes they crept into a place that only God deserves to be in. And David would seek his satisfaction, seek his pleasure, seek try to have that deep desire satisfied by looking to something else. That's when everything goes askew. And actually the beauty is kind of wrenched out of things. But it's when we see God first, long for God first, all of those other beauties have their place. And you know what the Bible tells us? It actually tells us this is where we're going. This is the great promise that God has for us. Is that, you know, when that great day comes and the clouds part and we are in the presence of God for eternity, do you know how the scriptures describe our eternity? We're going to be transformed because we see God. We see him for who he is. This is really the core description of what life everlasting is, to gaze upon the beauty of God, to worship God, to know God. This is the final blessedness of God's people. John 17, in the words of Jesus himself, as he's about to depart from the scenes of this earth, and he's praying for God's protection upon his disciples, he says this, verse 24, John 17, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory." That's the ultimate goal, that they might see my glory. Now think of this, 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. "Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." It's face to face seeing God. Or here's another one, Revelation 22 and verse 4. "They will see his face." This is what we're longing for, just to see the glory of God. 1 John 3, 2. "We know that when he appears, we shall be like him." Do you know how this goes? "Because we will see him as he is." It's the vision of the glory of God. The great brothers and sisters who've gone years, centuries before us, all call this the beatific vision of God. the beatific vision, that we actually get to gaze upon the glory of God, unlike anything else. I know some of you have been to the Grand Canyon. I haven't. Would you stand on the edge? And as long as you're not trying to look for some Pokemon, you're pretty safe standing there. And you gaze out into that, and you are just overcome by the wonder of that. But to gaze upon the one whose artistry that is beyond telling. That's the glory of God. God desires wonder in our experience. God actually wants us to know the thrill of wonder in our experience. He wants to fulfill our human experience in this way. It's right for us just to stop and to have our breath taken away by the goodness of God. David was occupied by things. He was a busy man running a nation. He had a kingdom to run. He had armies to keep. He had people to satisfy. He had a ministry that was happening. And yet, in all of that blessedness that David enjoyed, his relationships, his finances, his power, his victories, he appreciated them, but they remained secondary to the primary rule of his life. David, what is it all about? What really brings you to your highest place? Oh, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Well, I want to say to you, the last statement I want to make to you here is this. The essence of eternal life is this. This is what eternal life is. The delightful discovery of God. That our hearts just might be, just set aflame in the joy of the discovery of God. As I said, Jesus makes this so clear in the John 17 prayer. He actually says this in a very, very powerful way. Very simple statement. But if we could only get it, what a change this makes in us. John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life. This is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, Jesus says, that you would know him and you'd know Christ whom he sent. Friends, I have to tell you, eternal life is not just eternal existence. It's not just going on forever. Those who are in hell have an eternal existence. But it's not an existence we could call life. God calls us to eternal life. And that means surrendering our hearts to him. It means holding him as our highest prize, our highest treasure. And God there, as we humbly in faith come to him, he unfolds his own beauty to the human spirit. You know, I talk to so many people, and a number of people just, they kind of come to me sort of in a moment, I suppose, of disappointment. Something has set them back. And they just say, I just wish that there was something that would grab hold of me. Something at this stage in my life that would just, really just get me, give me something to live for, something that I could just really throw myself into, and that it would just take hold of me and carry me with it. And all the while, they're looking for, maybe it's a new job, or maybe it's a new relationship, or maybe it's a new place to live, or the next acquisition, whatever it may be, and they think that somehow those things are going to grip them that way and carry them the way they want to be carried. The truth is, God's beauty is everywhere. God's glory is everywhere, and that's the fullness. That's the joy of life. If you want to be gripped by something that will astound you every time, it's the glory of God. It's the beauty of God. It's been God's plan all from the beginning that he would make himself known. He would unveil himself amongst us and give us, his creatures, the privilege of knowing him and worshiping him and walking hand in hand with him. He is the indescribable one, the one full of splendor, infinite capacity for beauty. That's our God. And we gaze upon him, his beauty, and there's an overwhelming thrill of discovery that comes into our lives. Here, in this life, as we anticipate the fullness of things to come, very real, it's what lifts us in every moment, and then also in that time to come when the veil is finally removed and we see as we are seen. Well, it's glorious. From eternity to eternity, God is beautiful, God is glorious, and the glory of God is pervasive and it's practical, and it is our pursuit. I encourage you this morning, you know, as we celebrate the arts, celebrate the artist. Celebrate the one who's the source, the goal of it all, the one who is most beautiful. And let it be your life quest. Let's let the heart of David set the standard for us. This one thing I seek. I'd like to invite you to pray together with me. Let's bow before God and let's worship him. Our worship team will come and we're going to just give expression to our joy in knowing our God. Father, thank you for the presence of God with us here by your Spirit. Thank you that we can be reminded in the midst of what is a very busy season in life, where there are so many distractions. And perhaps even we ourselves are part of what we stumble over as we seek to find we don't know what. Father, open our eyes to see that what we need is you in the most momentous times of our life and in the simplest moments. Help us to take time to look for you. Help us to take time to see that brushstroke of your artistic genius in our lives. Help us to see it in the lives of others. And Lord, we pray that by your Spirit indwelling us, you'll make us to be those who also, reflecting you, bring beauty to our world, that the glory of God may be displayed throughout all the earth. Be magnified, our God, we pray. We thank you for today. We thank you for each other. We thank you for what you're doing in us. We just delight that we can continue the journey with us. Meet us where we are, our God, and grant your deliverance. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.